This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Rolito in Washington Heights is next up on 98.7.
Good morning. I've been listening to your radio show for the past year and a half. I'm humbled and I'm appreciative of listening to you guys every single morning.
Wow, what a nice call, Rolito. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You've been on the show for 5 days.
Just trying to show some appreciation.
He said in the last year and a half, and you're taking credit?
This is DCR.
Thanks for recognizing the effort, because we've put it in as a group.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You gotta love, you gotta respect what we're doing, man. If you don't love and respect what we're doing, you're not a real true New York Knicks fan.
Balls in the stone for the orange and blue.
The big 7 o'clock hour, DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. DCR on 98.7 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on DCR appear via the Goodyear hotline. I go winless in getting to know your co-hosts. I don't know how I would have known any of those. Rick, congratulations to you, though.
I appreciate that. Thank you. But, I mean, listen, you did awful.
But was I supposed to get – maybe I misunderstood the game.
No, no, you're right, because Dave doesn't say anything.
No.
Do not turn the tables, Dave.
Every time I ask a question that I have not brought up on the air in the past, I get, that's not the game. Dave, you're not playing the game properly. RJ's already ruined CMT. Now you're ruining getting to know your calls. No. And now he does that. You're like, no, that's the way you play. Correct. Good
actually,
for you.
Dave, I've brought all of those things up on the air, just not this week.
Well, so, if you brought it up 12 years ago, it doesn't count. Well, if we haven't heard it, that's fine.
That's on you for not listening. That's not on me. I've been an open book about that, so I'm sorry that, you know, you don't listen to anybody else but yourself.
Yeah, I mean, some of us are real friends, and when somebody that we know and we love...
Real friends, you went 2-3.
Or just more than anything, I think what became there clear about Rick is at least he's gotten a sense of me this
exactly
week.
Exactly right, and I thought when he went, I mean, I got to be honest, when you
asked those questions, I felt like I didn't know you at all. I was drunk here. I was throwing up on myself here. I failed out of school here. Like, you're a disaster.
All right. Well, it's a couple of things. Number one, I wasn't drunk in any of them. It was somebody else who was drunk.
I mean, you're fighting. You're bullshit.
The guy is drunk. I had one fight in college. That was it. That's the last time I've had a physical altercation. And the grades, it was determined by me not to return because I was immature. And
by you? The school would have let you back?
Yeah. Well, we were paying full boat at the time. That's why. But
he was a legacy.
Exactly. Yeah, we right. got a legamen.
I got a .88 there, Dean Wormer. Can I come back? Of course. Come on back. We'd love
to have
you
again. I was on academic probation. Not quite double secret, but not far from it. But
a .8.
And I would point out that I went to school for a total of 4 years, so it's not like it took me 6 years to graduate. I took a year off because I needed to grow up a little bit, and I did, and I went back, and I made sure that my parents did not pay for one penny more than my four-year education.
What'd you do in that year off?
Like, I worked at a drugstore and got drunk.
You got drunk. What a surprise.
No, I was not this drunken mess in college. I really was not. It is just a couple of instances where it sounds like I was.
I thought when I took this job, having, you know, some of the experiences in my life that I've had, that I was like, you know, I've done it all. I mean, hearing this from Carlin, some of the degenerate stories of Dave Rothenberg, Don hopped up on weed and mescaline.
I'm like, hopped up on weed is nothing. Don's used heavy drugs.
That's what I said, weed and mescaline. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The peyote. I'm like a Boy Scout acid, at this radio station.
I've dropped acid. I've taken mess.
Oh, my.
Acid, mess.
Acid, I'm taking mess. And he says it so matter-of-factly.
I've dropped acid. I've taken mess.
Oh, my God.
I mean, my God, what is happening here? All right. Let's try to refocus, can we? And discuss the Knicks. And you know what, Carl? The more I think about it, the more you frustrate me. Because you get so wrapped up in the moment the other day with the Knicks losing that game to the Lakers. And then they have... use whatever word you want. A really impressive comeback win against San Antonio. And you don't even jump on board with that. So it's like you pick and choose what bothers you and what doesn't, and when we can get into the nitty-gritty of a game and when it has to be big picture of what the Knicks have done.
I'm never going to deny what big picture what this season has been. And when you step back after a week or two after the year, you're going to feel great about where everything is headed. I mean, even you'll probably feel better, feel great about where everything is headed before that. I just, for the moment, because it has been so long since they've had the chance to really care in the moment, I am trying to take that in for what it is worth.
But that's my point. So then why wouldn't you celebrate that great win from last night?
Because I'm thinking more about the need to just win these games, period. So they won a game that they were supposed to win.
Oh, my God.
That's
Rick,
all.
Does this bother you, or am I the only one here that I just can't fathom what he's talking about?
No, I mean, it bothered me when he did it with the Lakers. I mean, you're sitting here talking about how bad that was of a loss. Oh, you had this big lead that you blew. Well, if that was a bad loss, then why can't we celebrate coming back from 17 points?
You're down 17 against a decent basketball team, and you get all the way back, and you're already hamstrung, and you win the game. Why can't we be excited about that?
Now, I'm not tossing it aside. They won the game. You move on. It was a win where they, like I said, had a lead at halftime, and
it was 3 points.
I understand, and they fell behind by 17. It got
away
from them
quickly. And they came back to win.
That's a good win. I'm not
if you fall behind by 17 points and you come back to win late stages of the third quarter, that's a great win.
All right, you want something that I was excited about in that win? That R.J. Barrett at the end of that third quarter was really the guy that brought you back. I mean, Burks had 30, and he was terrific. R.J. Barrett, in the third quarter late and in the fourth quarter, had, 11 or 12 of the 15 points, something like that, to really close that gap all of a sudden. R.J. Barrett is something that I get excited about. I get excited about the fact that he had that kind of a bounce-back game after what happened against the Lakers earlier in the week. As we heard Jay Will earlier, all right, maybe he had a night out in L.A., 2 for 13, whatever. It happens. But I love the fact that Barrett all season long has been able to put bad games behind him, because that's really showing how much maturity he's got. All right?
All right,
I'm
not happy. And R.J. Barrett was great. I mean, what he did to get, jumpstart the Knicks to come back from the 17, I mean, make big threes. I mean, the fact that the Knicks, I mean, they make six threes in the fourth quarter. Like, all that stuff is great. Here's the thing, though. And we spend all this time in every single different sport. We talk about, in this sport, this position is so important. In that sport, like quarterback, most important position in sports. What's the most important position right now in NBA basketball?
Guard. Yep.
The Knicks won without a point guard.
Okay.
Chris, without one.
Okay.
They did not have a point guard.
I understand.
Did not play
that.
A point guard.
I'm so frustrated with you right now.
You could argue that Derrick Rose, while he's been amazing, 25 minutes a game, the Knicks haven't had the truest of point guards for the majority of the season.
But can you not admit that he's a top three player on this team right now?
Of course.
So you won the game with him not even being there last night.
Yep. They did. That's great. And yet the other night,
that's great.
When the Lakers didn't have Schroeder, LeBron, and Anthony Davis was banged up, you're tossing aside that loss with a 10-point lead fourth quarter like it's nothing. So they didn't
have
two and a half of their top three players.
And you killed them for it. And you killed them for it.
Exactly.
And yet you won't give them the credit they deserve from last night.
I'm giving them credit, Dave. I'm just not super excited. I'm not over the moon. That's all. I'm giving them credit. They came back and won that game.
Tom Thibodeau, I give them credit for that. What was the team's feeling when they were down by this huge amount of 17 in the third quarter?
I prefer not to be down 17, but that's part of the game. And just have the belief that we can win. Just keep fighting. You try to, when you get down that much, you fight to get it inside 10. And as I mentioned, with the three, you can make up ground pretty quickly. So you just need to get string together some stops and knock down a couple shots, and then you're on your way. And that's what we did. Just work the game. You get into stuff together. You get out of stuff together.
From down 17, an almost insurmountable lead late stages of the third quarter, and they fight and scrap all the way back and win this one at the Garden last night, which for Carlin is a All right. That's a win.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Carlin has just given us the question that he was not allowed to ask on air. Of course you were not allowed to ask this on air, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I was just trying to add a little flavor. That's all. You know, Rick likes to test the limits every once in a while.
But I think that is the limit. I think that's the limit. Yeah, like, I think that is the limit.
Well, it's a long time ago.
Oh, that makes it better.
It doesn't make it better that you're talking about what you're talking about.
Listen, it was something that happened and that's it. Listen, nothing's better for radio than inside jokes.
Well, it's not an inside joke. It's something that's so bad that we just can't bring it on air.
It's not. Nobody died. Okay.
No.
Let's not make it out like, you know, somebody was doing blow somewhere. That's not.
No,
what
but
this
you
was.
Wanted to call someone out for an extramarital affair.
I'm not going beyond that. And it was nobody that I know personally. Let's also be clear about that. Okay. It's not calling them out.
Well, it's disdain. Well.
It's pretty damn close.
Yeah. You're gonna out somebody for an extramarital affair. True or not true?
Now you're doing that.
I'm not doing it. I'm not giving the name. You were going to give the name.
But now you're basically saying that there's somebody involved here that, you know.
Yes, someone on the face of the earth has had an extramarital affair. That's what I've said. You gave three choices.
But did I do it on the air? I didn't. And you wanted to know what the question was, so I told you what the question was. So stop complaining.
You're a different guy than I thought you were. I've enjoyed this week a lot.
You should see other questions that I didn't ask.
What else did you not ask?
Oh my God. I was thinking about asking what was the name on my fake ID in college?
But... McLovin.
See, Peter Rosenberg.
You're Peter Rosenberg? Yes. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Let's get to some of these Knicks calls. They are a huge story right now. Eric in Hawthorne. Eric, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How are you? Love the show. I love you guys on the radio, but I do have to say that you guys are getting carried away with this Knicks stuff. Good. The Knicks are doing better, but we can't forget the last 10, 20 years of misery that they've given you. I just think there's so much bravado from the Knicks fans right now, and you just got getting a little carried away. I'll admit I'm a big-time Nets fan, but I do like
and you guys
the
have been great.
Good.
You guys have been great, Eric.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I like the Knicks being good and people being happy for them, but I think the Knicks fans, what were they last year when they weren't that good, you know? Like, now their chest is out, and then they're just bashing the Nets fans. Can we show a little love in the city? That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, but would you want, I mean, as a Nets fan, do you want to see the Knicks? I mean, if it was opposite, where the two choices were Kevin and Kyrie were going to go to, I mean, I guess they were two choices. I mean, it was the Knicks or the Nets, and they chose the Knicks instead, and all of a sudden they're on the verge of winning a championship. You'd be rooting for the Knicks to do that? No, you wouldn't stop. There's no chance you would.
And what does last year have to do with anything? In fact, the fact that they were so bad last year, I think, makes this year even more impressive.
It has nothing to do with anything, exactly. And see, this is me being positive.
As a first for everything, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Mark down the time.
I guess.
Let's go to 724. Spike. I'm going to mark it down.
Yeah, 724. First time this week. Carlin, positivity.
Not true.
Not drunk. Spike in St. Pete. Spike, you're at 98.7.
I got to tell you, this week's programs, Carlin fit in like a custom-made suit. It's just the laughing. It's just brilliant to fit in. You guys are interchangeable parts, which makes radio great.
Oh, that's now, great, Spike.
Now, I got a bone to pick.
That's great. So if one of us goes away,
that makes me feel great.
Someone else just hops on in.
Yeah, I'll be in for Rick on Monday and Tuesday. So you won't miss.
What a compliment! Thanks.
That's great. I'm sure management is listening. Like, all right, we can get rid of Rothenberg and bring in the clown on the corner. It's all interchangeable. Continue along, Spike.
Thank you. The funny part is I knew all the answers to the Carlin questions, but that's another thing. Here we go. I disagree with you, Carlin, on last night's win. That was let's protect our home court win. That was brilliant. I do agree with you with R.J. Barrett because he's 20 years old and does not play like a 20-year-old. He's got that Bernard King look on his face sometimes. You know, it's wonderful to watch. Now, I do think Tuesday's loss to the Lakers really was a bad coaching error by Thibodeau. Remember when, San Antonio's coach, Popovich, remember when they didn't put Tim Duncan in the game when Ray Allen made the shot and they got the rebound? Thibodeau made a mistake in that game, an egregious mistake at the end of that game, and it cost the Knicks the game. But he's done so much good. I'm so happy, and I don't care who we play. I would prefer the Hawks, but I've watched a lot of the Hawks. And have you guys noticed the BS that Trae Young pulls where he goes to the basket, pulls up, and gets a guy to lean into him?
Kind of what Emmanuel Quickley does, Spike? Kind of the exact same thing that Emmanuel Quickley does?
Yeah, Quickley tries to do it, but he doesn't have the gravitas. Trae Young is
Why is that BS, though? Why is a guy finding a way to better himself and his team? Why is that BS? I don't understand.
Because the officials had a meeting earlier in the year, and they said, stop calling that foul, because it's marginal contact. See, here's the problem I have with the NBA, which I love more than any sport. The officiating, it just fluctuates. You'll see how tight they call stuff in the playoffs, and that's going to hurt the Knicks. But bring them on. This has been the best year. They've won more games this year in a 72-game season than they did in the last two games in an 82-game season. Anyway, boys, have a great weekend. Whatever happens, happens. And I would re-sign Randall this year, not wait next year. You'll save a lot of money.
I don't think there's a need to do that yet. I would eventually do it. Don't get me wrong. But you could wait until the middle of next year to even talk about it.
Randall is absolutely a piece of the future with this team.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any doubt about that right now. Let's go to Mel and Rahway. Mel, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Man, I like to say I love the NBA, so I really appreciate how the Knicks turned their franchise around this year. They have a great defensive identity. I just don't think they have enough scoring yet. But with 5 first-round draft picks and the most cap salary in the league this year, man, I'm looking forward to the future and what they're going to bring.
I don't know how you could be excited. Carlin's looking to the future and looking at it positively. The future for the Knicks is tremendously bright. We heard Jay Williams, who joined us at 5:30 this morning, say he talks to guys around the league who look at the Knicks now and like, oh, that's an intriguing landing spot. That, to me, is the biggest win of this entire year, is now the free agent or the disgruntled player can look at the Knicks and say, you know what, I'd like to go there.
Yeah, but how often, let me ask you guys a question, how often do you see it where, I mean, I guess the Yankees have been able to do it, you know, like retool on the fly and still be really competitive, but this isn't even just really competitive. I mean, you're at the beginning stages of what you thought was going to be the rebuilding process, and right now you're fighting for a fourth or fifth seed in the playoffs. That doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And it's been amazing to watch, and I think to that point, the even more amazing thing is they have been able to rehab their image as quickly as they have and make it that kind of a place, make it that desirable location for potential free agents or disgruntled players.
Yeah, I mean, but the hiring, and I think we were all, I mean, I know Dave feels the same way. I mean, you hear all of a sudden you're going to have an agent as your GM who's never done it before. First thing that comes to mind is, oh, no, not this. You saw what Brody Van Wagenen
thought about Brody Van Wagenen.
Exactly right. But that, I mean, between Leon Rose bringing in World Wide West, like that's made a huge difference with how people look at this team, how NBA stars look at this team.
You give them a ton of credit.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Hey, it's Friday. Let's party tonight.
Wait a minute. What day is it, actually?
It's Friday.
It better be Friday.
It is actually Friday. Santi, you got it right this week. Carlin, last Thursday, Santiago played Hey, It's Friday, and it confused everybody.
If only.
It's Friday.
Nice.
Party tonight.
Right, even though it's Thursday, it's Friday here. We can on 98.7.
You know what?
We made up our own rules.
Thursday really was Friday in college.
Yeah. you in college, you should write a book.
I tell you, it was really more about my freshman year than anything. My freshman year was an absolute disaster.
You were ill-equipped to go away to college freshman year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm going to make you feel awful right now. When I was 15, my father passed away. Oh. So the last couple of years of high school, I didn't have a whole lot of fun. So I made up for it. Put it that way.
I do feel that.
He was 135 pounds when he went to college.
He put on
No. The other guy was 135 pounds. I was 135 sophomore year of high school. By junior year, I was about, 270.
What did you put on your first year of college? 80 pounds?
No. I would say I put on 35.
80 pounds.
Well, he 35. Said he got up to 350.
Yeah, that was by the end of college. I probably went to college around 280. So over the course of college, I put on about 70 pounds.
Oof.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. 55
I'm glad
minutes
you're better than me for that. So.
Tom Thibodeau. Listen, I'm just asking questions. I'm trying
to
get
you're
to
judging.
You.
There is such a judgmental tone
it's
in you
judgmental.
This week. Like a few minutes ago, the interchangeable thing. Oh, I guess we can just throw in any clown on the corner and we're fine. Oh, so now I'm a clown on the corner.
No, that's, you know what? If you listen to what he said and you cleaned out your ears a little bit, he said you could just take any of you guys off the show and it's completely interchangeable. As if I go away, you bring
well,
in anyone.
He's talking about all of us.
It's the same.
Listen, I've done a lot of hard work trying to make this show gel over the last year and a half. And we had the caller earlier
yes.
who thanked us for that.
And so, I think all of our success does boil down to you.
Once again, you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Hey, by the way, if you're a good guy too, you're not guessing 80 pounds.
Yeah.
Like if you're a good guy, guess low. What would you put on in freshman year? 80 pounds?
He said.
Yeah, but it's a freshman school. 15.
He's not for Carlin. He does everything seriously. He said he was 270 senior year of high school heading into college. He told us earlier this week that he ballooned up to 350. That's 80.
Oh, so he just the first year. That's when he did it.
I thought. And now look at this obese man that's going to sit in the chair.
You're so much better than everybody else. All right. And I'm a fit man now. Whoa.
Listen up, Jets fans. Listen up. Rick, you're gonna adore this read. You ready?
Oh, I mean, I've been waiting for this read the entire time. I looked at the rundown. I can't wait for this read.
Starting next week, 98.7 ESPN has your chance to score tickets to the Jets home opener live at MetLife Stadium. DCR and the Michael Kay Show are going to be giving away a pair of tickets each day next week. We'll also select one of those winners to be upgraded. This is mind-blowing, by the way. One of the winners will be upgraded to full season tickets.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
That's a giveaway.
That's awesome.
All brought to you by 98.7 ESPN and the New York Jets. Single game tickets for every Jets home game at MetLife Stadium now on sale. Lock in your seats by visiting nyjets.com/tickets and get back to live football this season. Full season for the Jets. And the Jets have 9 home games this year, don't they?
I believe they do, yeah. Yeah, that London game's a Falcons home game, so yeah.
Yeah, so you get the bonus. 9 games.
And I believe season ticket people who are buying season tickets get that game for free, the 9th game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you pay for 8 and get 9?
Yep.
Nice.
Even better.
Look at the Jets doing the right thing.
Can't wait to tailgate again. Can't wait. Been missing it so much.
You should come to our big tailgate this year if we have.
I will. You don't have to twist my arm.
Well, since we're completely, replaceable, you could go in my stead for the big tailgate.
You can watch Dave embarrass himself in cornhole.
Oh. Those were huge, fat people.
Why don't you do something nice for your listeners of the podcast? I mean, you got this
what are you looking
button.
For?
Podcast Empire. Why don't you fund some season tickets? Give Giants season tickets away.
I'll tell you what. If we start making money like that, I will absolutely give away Giants season tickets.
That would be nice. I mean, it's nice. Why not do it now, though? Get people in.
I don't have the kind of money. We're giving away
there's poor people around.
Signed Islander pucks. That was the longest useless soundbite we could play. Signed Islander pucks tomorrow morning on the hockey show.
Which is the most fraudulent show on the station.
Oh, here we
the
go.
The most fraudulent show on the station.
Here we
Why
go.
So?
Well, I mean, no, has he won?
You got to hear him whine about this. Go ahead.
No, and there's a couple different things. I mean, Quinny gets fired. We haven't talked about that. Islanders.
We're going to talk about it right now.
Well, yeah, just because I brought it up. Islanders postseason starts on Sunday afternoon. Haven't even mentioned that. And you're giving away Islanders pucks. You're an embarrassment. You're an embarrassment.
You're an embarrassment.
You don't even like the Islanders.
So?
And you grew up in Roslyn.
So? I'm not obligated to like every team that you want me to root for. would have been so easy for me to be an Islanders fan as a little kid when they won four in a row. I went the other direction. I root for a team that's won one cup in 85 years. That's living, baby.
That's a huge mistake on your part. Huge mistake.
It wasn't brilliant at the time. All right, so let's talk about it. David Quinn fired. We had a feeling this was going to happen. It did happen. Very disappointed. I think he did a good job with the Rangers. I mean, you sent out a letter a couple of years ago saying, bear with us, it's going to be a rebuild. They're a pretty good team right now. They're in a very difficult division. They had a lot of hurdles to get over this season, and I think they did really well, and I was really bothered by the fact, A, I like him personally, B, I think he did a really good job with this team, and Quinn is now out.
Yeah, and some of the stuff that was said, too. I mean, when they fired JD and Gordon, and you heard from James Dolan and then Chris Drury, I mean, you start talking about, you know, this is a group of talent, but it's not really a team. They lack culture. I mean, that shots at the coaching staff. That's what a coach is responsible for, is the culture. Where I get aggravated is I don't know if they ever relayed, and when I mean they, I mean ownership, ever relayed to Coach Quinn that this was a playoff team now.
Right.
Because I don't think anyone expected it. Like, if things went perfectly in this new division, maybe they'd have a chance to be in the playoffs. But then how the season unfolded with everything that they went through, Zibanejad getting COVID, D'Angelo getting sent away from the team, Panarin, I mean, you name it. Then Quinny gets COVID. I mean, there were so many different things that went into the season that all of a sudden now, like, it would have been nice if you told me before the season started that you think we have enough talent here that we should be a playoff team, because maybe I coach differently.
Yeah, give him that mandate. Tell him going into the year, you coach it how you want, but if you don't go to the postseason, there's a pretty good chance you're going to lose your job. Because if you didn't do that, then all the decisions that he made this season are founded on really false information.
Yeah, but how we know that they didn't do that. I purposely asked them that question a couple different times. How hard is it as a coach to have a team this young where you're trying to develop the young players and win at the same time? And he said, I can't even begin to tell you how hard that is. Because that's, I mean, I would imagine, right? Because, I mean, we heard this after they were fired, that JD and Gordon thought, like, okay, we're still going through the process of rebuilding. Like, we're not to that point yet. So I'm sure they're telling Quinny, like, hey, we need the young guys to play. We need them to get better. We need them to get experience. So when you're trying to do that, like, juggle both of those things, like, I need these guys to play, but I also need to make sure we try to win. And that's
it's counterintuitive.
That's not the best case scenario if you're trying to make a push to be a playoff team.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive, right? And the other thing, too, is it's not like any of us were sitting around during the course of the year, or it was even really talked about during the course of the year, that Quinn and or the front office were going to be in any kind of trouble, or there was, you know, the mandate wasn't even ever really leaked out there publicly, like they need to make the playoffs or there's going to be some changes. It just seemingly came from nowhere, which would suggest that it wouldn't have been communicated well enough.
Do you think and
on top of the fact, too, is, I mean, when you look at the talent that they've you know, brought in, and then we would ask Quinny all the time, like, how, you know, what he was hoping to achieve. And he used to talk about, you know, raising the floor, learning to play with structure and, you know, defensive accountability. And we're like, well, that's not really the kind of team that they've given him. Right? Like, that wasn't really the pieces that he had. Like,
no.
Quinny wanted to play this, like the style that they're, like Chris is talking about, that I'm sure James Dolan is talking about with grit and tough. That's the kind of style, I mean, that would be the kind of style I think that Quinny would actually want to play. But he's playing the hand he's dealt.
And they're so young. I was going to say, do you think if the Knicks, and this is such a weird thing to say, if the Knicks were worse and Dolan was more focused
yes.
on them,
mm-hmm. yes.
that the front office for the Rangers is still employed right now?
If the Knicks barely got into the playoff round, but everybody felt good about it.
If the Knicks stunk. If the Knicks were what we've seen from them and they gave you, you know, the 22 wins that Vegas thought, do you think that the JD, Gordon, and Quinny are still employed right now?
Wow, that's a great question. Because, I mean, some of the stuff you heard, too, was, you know, you bring in a coach like, you know, coach like Thibodeau, and, you know, he gets what he's getting out of the talent that they have. Kind of was like, you know, opened his eyes to the fact that, why do we have all this talent with the Rangers and we're not a playoff team? But I'm looking at the Knicks that don't really have much talent at all and they're a playoff team. Something's got to change. I think the other thing, too, was I would have a hard time believing after reading some of the stuff that James Dolan said that Glenn Saylor hasn't been in his ear. telling him all the things that he's saying. And the fact that, you know, Chris Drury is as highly sought after as he's been, and he's turning down interviews with you know, Pittsburgh and everything else. I don't know. Maybe this was just was coming regardless. Like, maybe that this is what they wanted. I mean, Drury was going to be the guy eventually anyway.
Is it crazy for me to think that Drury had some kind of clue, or there was some discussion behind the scenes that Drury?
But why else wouldn't you, but why else wouldn't you take?
I mean, yeah.
I think you could connect
those
dots.
This is what I'm thinking.
So, again, I just don't think it was fair to Quinny, because I never got the feeling, or I mean, no one had ever said to me that there was the expectation that this should absolutely 100% be a
playoff
team.
I don't think anybody
team.
Thought it. I mean, I'm a Rangers fan, and I never thought that this was going to be a playoff team. And to be frank with you, if you would have said to me before the season this is what they'd be, I'd say, you know what, that's a pretty good year. They were close. Up until the final week or 10 days, they were right there, right? They were, what, 5 points? They were 5 points behind the Islanders and played them twice when they would have had a real chance to cut it to one. Now, look, they're not at the level of the Islanders right now. The Islanders are a better team and built to beat the Rangers, and they did and they have for much of the year. But to be in a position where you're in the toughest division in hockey, in the worst season we've seen, and a pandemic season, and the Rangers have had issues, and to be right there on the verge, I don't know. It feels like it was a premature firing.
And then when you hear how hard it's been, I mean, for all these sports, like what they're dealing with on a daily basis, like to try to actually, you know, have practices, have video sessions, have games and everything else, I don't know if this would have been the year that I chose to do it. And I think the other thing, too, is when JD and Gordon got fired, too, and you start looking, you know, at where the Rangers would be in other divisions. I mean, in two other divisions, they're a playoff team, and in the third, they're 2 points out of a playoff spot.
That's right.
So, I don't know, man. It didn't make
it's
sense at the time. But, hey, I will say this as a positive for Rangers fans is that the more people I talk to, the more people think that Chris Drury is going to do a really good job.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. And the name I've heard thrown out there, and tell me what you have, Rick Tortorella.
Yeah, they're going to interview. They asked permission to interview Gallant. So they'll interview him. I heard the same thing. I heard don't be surprised if it's Torts, but again, I know they like Torts. I mean, Drury played for Torts. He was the captain for the Rangers when, you know, Torts was here as the coach. I think Dolan likes Torts a lot. I mean, if you're going to if you look at this as James Dolan sees what Thibodeau, because Thibodeau is the same exact kind of coach as Torts.
Who, by the way, Thibodeau, 8:30 this morning, KJZ right here on 98.7 ESPN.
If that was part of what made you make this move, was you see what Thibodeau was doing with this team, not much talent, young team, and what he's getting out of them, I mean, it would make sense if it ends up
it
being.
It would. It really Thibodeau. Would. Let's go to Ron.
Oh, he was
Chester.
A pain in the ass.
Ron, go ahead. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys, and I really don't care how Dave is doing this morning.
Good.
So
I'm not going to tell you.
Question,
go ahead.
My real question is, forget about the Knicks, forget about the playoffs. If Tom Wilson doesn't go off in that one game, and he doesn't even play, is anybody getting fired? That one game, Tom Wilson is really the reason that brought everything to light, embarrassed the Rangers. If that doesn't happen, I think nobody gets fired.
No, I think Gordon still gets fired.
Doesn't it feel like that was just the kind of the final nail? I mean, because when the way they played against the Islanders, that clearly annoyed Dolan.
Yes.
Clearly annoyed him.
And the statement, and there was disagreement with that. So, yes, it felt like that was the beginning of the end. Or maybe it was the end of the end, as a matter of fact. Let's go to Kieran in Vermont. Kieran, you're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. I called in one other time about a year ago. And long story short, I used to work in Ukraine, and I stayed in touch with my sports teams through your show. And during the pandemic, I actually moved to Vermont for work, and same deal. So I was doing work with my boss, and we're not in the office, so I haven't really met most of my coworkers in person yet, which is kind of funny. One of the clients we were discussing in our little one-on-one Zoom meeting had the last name Jackson, and he goes, I wonder if he's related to Phil Jackson. And I'm not close with my boss, so it was kind of a social olive branch moment via Zoom. But instinctively, I blurted out, oh, well, I hope not, because he's the worst executive in NBA history.
Nice.
And my boss proceeds to tell me oh, every player since Patrick Ewing has been trashed, and John Starks, and I'm like 27 for the record, so he prefaced by saying, oh, you're probably too young to remember, as if I don't know anything about Knicks basketball. And he says John Starks is an overrated, low-character punk. And so I'm fuming. I'm trying
to
ask
quit. You should curse him out and quit right there on the Zoom call.
I'm trying to act somewhat professional in my new work. And mind you, this is the morning after we clinched late Wednesday night. So this is like a whole 9 hours after. And so I barked back and I said, oh, yeah, well, guess what? The Knicks clinched last night, so we're living in a new time, bud. And the point is, the Knicks fan base has every right to feel proud about this, and it's honestly such an incredible sports story to look back on how god-awful this organization's been since the 90s. And some fans and voices in NBA sports just don't give us enough credit or recognize how great it is. But anyways, be well, guys. I love your show so much. Dave, you're awesome. Rick, you're awesome. Chris, you've been awesome this week, so take care.
Oh, what a nice call.
That was lovely.
Yeah. I don't think he has any other choice. I think he's got to roll the dice.
He's got to quit the job.
He's got to stand up to his boss and just let the chips fall where they may.
I mean, if you're going to take shots at John Starks, a great grizzled Nick.
There's a deal breaker in there somewhere, I mean, for Pete's sake. You know?
What a terrible take by
the
boss.
Yeah, but not even that, though. I mean, but he insulted him to begin with. You're probably too young. You wouldn't remember these guys.
That even you'd admit, Dave, that's much worse than anything I've said this week.
No. I mean, the fact that you came out with your inebriation history was shocking.
Dave, I'm like every other person. Let's talk about your inebriation history.
Yeah.
Have you had any?
Yeah, there's actually video of...
yes! video, at least as far as I know, of me being drunk.
So they got me... I was so drunk at a party one day. Like so drunk. And they said, you know how drunk he is? That if you ask him where the Giants went to college, he wouldn't know where each player went to college. And I like stood up. I was like, I know where they went to college. I tell you, Myron Guyton, Eastern Kentucky. All right, you stop it.
Like that kind of party.
Alabama.
Phil Simms went to Moorhead State.
Phil Simms to Moorhead State. You get out. Joe Morris, Syracuse, okay?
I drive a Dodge Stratus.
Why is
there
so much video?
Take me out for some Taco Bell and let's go.
Why is everything you do on video? I don't understand this.
What does that mean? How is everything I've done on video?
Dancing around naked?
Yeah.
I can think of other things that you should be filming. Like there are certain videos that I would be all for filming.
Really?
Me naked by myself, not one of them. Me crazy drunk answering Stump Rothenberg questions, not one of them.
But they weren't Stump Rothenberg questions. I was getting frustrated that they didn't think I knew.
The more you speak, the more I feel like you probably have a sex tape.
Maybe.
I was right. You have I guarantee at some point you have more than once, I bet.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, God. Please, if anyone's listening that knows how to hack things, please somebody hack into Dave's.
You would want to watch that, wouldn't you?
I'd take a peek.
And please do not include me on that email.
Let's go. Oh, dear. Someone has to be available to take on the calls. Yes, Steve in Connecticut. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, man, the last caller, I got to big him up. He explained everything how you'd explain to a Knicks hater. And on top of that, look, I'm 52. I was there for the good Knicks, the bad Knicks, the all the way through. This is Tibbs' dream job, man. You know he was plotting and planning how to bring it back. But the guy is good, you know. Big up the Knicks. What's up?
Listen,
But you don't understand. Here's the thing, though. You don't understand, though, Chris. That's the problem. That's why you have the opinions you have. You don't understand because you're not really a Knicks fan.
You don't feel the emotion every single day. You don't live and die with this team. You're just like, oh, that was nice.
No. That's not true. None of it.
It is true.
I've been fully invested all season long. I'm not going to sit here and make myself out to be the world's biggest Knicks fan. I'm not.
You're not a Knicks fan at all.
No. But I've been here for the last 20 years and watched what's unfolded. And I understand their frustration, and I've talked to two of them enough. All I'm doing is just losing myself in the moment. You guys, you know, you can't live in the moment. You're just...
What are you, Eminem, you
know,
all of a sudden?
Yeah, listen. I've spent some time with the Dalai Lama, you know?
Big hitter, by the way.
He's
big hitter.
He's a huge hitter.
Big bad hitter
tipper,
though.
Bad, bad tipper.
I understand
Lama.
Me. I understand what I'm about. And I want to live in this moment right now.
Will you be listening this morning? 8:30, Tom Thibodeau on KJZ.
You know I will be.
Because he's the coach of your favorite NBA team.
Why are you pumping this up so much?
Why am I pumping it up so much?
You're putting a lot on this today, a lot.
Tom, the head coach of the Knicks, he doesn't do media. He doesn't do interviews. He's doing it on this station. I shouldn't pump it up?
No, but I spent hours with Tibbs. I don't understand why he's not doing it with us.
I asked that same question.
I'm a little hurt, if we're being honest.
That's kind of not hurt. Team, though, Rick, isn't it?
I'm not happy unless I'm miserable.
Not really, yeah, but I mean, we had moments.
It's kind of your mantra. You're not happy unless you're miserable. Mark in the car. Mark, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, man. That dude a couple calls ago really grinded my gears talking about how this Knicks story is one of the best in sports. Like, dude, get over it, man. Every program is going to be bad for a while and will become good at some point.
Bad for a while?
Mark, what a terrible call. What a repulsive call. They've been bad for 20 years, Mark. They've been the laughing stock of sports.
This wasn't a dry spell.
Goodness. Was,
yeah. This is like you joined the priesthood.
Yes.
Every team is going to turn it around. It's been two decades.
Yeah, this is like Rosenberg in high school kind of drought we're talking about here.
Oh, my God. What a terrible take. Mm. Really, really bad.
Ending the week on that. Oof.
Well, you'll be back next week, so.
I'll give you some more worse ones.
Yeah, good. All right, Santi, it's your time. Three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
I'm going to say that there was a late run there by all these Dave Rothenberg videos that are allegedly out there. And
sex tapes. You can call it
possible sex tape. I don't know.
No, but multiple sex tapes.
But no.
Ray J.
We're going to close the week out on an all Carlin ramble.
I can honestly think I never thought I'd hear Dave compared to Ray J.
Terrible.
That's right. In more ways than one.
This whole Knicks-Nets thing, and I keep coming back to Carlin and his impossible standards for the Knicks win last night. What would it have taken, Chris, for you to be happy with what the Knicks did last night?
I am happy that they won. You just want me to be over the moon, and I'm sorry I'm not easily impressed.
Oh, well, moving on.
Number two.
Hang on. That's a star?
Yeah. Just bear with me.
I don't know what's happening to the show.
So Carlin not being impressed by a Knicks win is a star?
It was clearly the theme of the show because you had Knicks fans and Nets fans warring with each other for the last 3 hours. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the show at all.
I've been paying attention. So the three stars are supposed to be the three great things that happened on the show, the three best things, and Carlin not being impressed by the Knicks gets a star?
Can I move on? For 3 hours.
Can I move on?
Fine. By the way, Thibodeau, 8:30 on KJZ.
Tom Thibodeau at 8:30 on KJZ.
Yeah.
Jay Will, part of that program, coming on, being a good sport, dealing with the bad guy that Chris Carlin was and just, you know, explaining himself. And now we have some answers and maybe we understand why he's not so likable.
That was like the joke you used to play with your buddies. Like, hey, ask him how many push-ups his mom can do. And you ask him, the guy's like, my mom only has one arm.
Well, my mom is dead.
She has no arms.
Terrible.
Number one,
great performance in getting to know you by Chris Carlin and Rick DiPietro and everybody, really. But I number one star by proxy has to go to the play-by-play guy who got drunk, leading to Chris going into a radio career, which leads us to this wouldn't have happened today. We wouldn't have had Chris on the show this week. Wouldn't have the great Chris Carlin, the two-time winner of the New Jersey State Broadcaster of the Year. We wouldn't have any of this if the play-by-play guy didn't get drunk that one time. So congratulations.
The play-by-play guy got drunk and punched out a police officer. He's the number one star.
Drunk, angry, pantsless amazing man is responsible for my career.
KJZ 830, Tom Thibodeau will be on the show. Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DiPietro, Carlin, Rothenberg, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7. 0.7.